Why don't we pray and then we will read our Bibles together. God, thank you for being good and for loving us. Thank you for these beautiful moments that we have to come together as a family and remember the cross. Remember your love for us. Sing to you and lift you up and worship you. God, I pray that as we open your book and we read, I pray, God, that you would indeed speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, before we go on, cover your ears. The angle is wrong, so it's going to make a noise. Not. Holy cow. One time did I say something, doesn't it? Okay. So, when we think about our lives, when we think about what we're going to do, okay, last week we looked at in the moment, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do after this? What am I going to do tomorrow? What am I going to do in this conversation or as I'm driving to this place? And when I get there, what would my attitude be? We looked at the small window of what does God want me to do in this tiny little slice, this sliver of my life, this one thing that's going to happen the next hour, the next day, things like that. But when we think bigger picture, when we expand our view and we think, not what am I going to do after I leave here today, but in general, what do I want? What the question that I always have in my mind that I know the answer to is what do I want to achieve? What do I want to get? What do I want to do with my life? What big picture, right? Not tiny little, what's the next conversation I'm going to have or what's the next little task that I should do, but big picture. What do I want my life to be about when I'm done here, when I'm looking back on my life? What do I want to have done? What's the big picture? What's the thing that I want to do, to have achieved? And there's always something, isn't there? There's always something that we want to get, that we seek for in life. And maybe it's money or maybe it's things. And I'm throwing these things out there and probably in a tone of voice that makes you go, hey, he's just kind of dismissing it, but I'm not. There are times in our lives when we chase after money and security that comes with money, and I need more. I need to make sure my life is situated the way it should be, or I want more stuff, or I want to get better at the job that I do and be recognized and maybe have a company someday or be higher up in the company that I work at. I want to have my friends. That's what's important to me. That's what I want to have friends that love me or family or maybe the thing for you is your big thing is just having fun and having a good time or whatever that looks like for you. Maybe it's going out. Maybe for you it's staying in and doing that thing, that hobby that you have. That's kind of the focus of your life. It's what you're achieving. And maybe your life is all wrapped up right now. I hope it's not in politics and who's going to win and the thing and the whatever it is, we chase after that thing. We go after it. We give ourselves to it. We give our time and our money and our thoughts. You're probably thinking about it right now. You probably were thinking about it. You probably were struggling to not think about that thing because it's important for you. It's a thing that it's like, I got to do this and I got to do that. I got to make sure this thing is done and I want this and I got to make sure I buy this. And it occupies not just our time and our money, but our thoughts. And it's what we do with our lives. It's what we want to achieve. It's what we're all about. And so then we go after it. We plan and we make strategies and we schedule our life so that we can do this thing and be about this thing. It becomes the focus of our lives. It becomes the answer to the question, what are you doing with your life? And sometimes, you know, we wouldn't want to answer that question when it's asked. It's, well, I'm studying. When in reality, what I'm doing with my life is I'm on level 4 of World of Warcraft. I don't know, whatever the game of the day is. All I do is I play that game, and that's my thing. And I have to do this other stuff to survive and live. But this is what I do with my life. And maybe for you, the thing that what your life is about is something you would gladly talk to people about because it's prestigious. It's, well, I'm a manager now, and I used to be this, and now I'm going to be that, and I've risen up, and here is who I am. This is what I'm about, and I have a summer home, and I whatever your thing is. It's the answer to that question. What is your life all about? I do a lot of knitting. Maybe that's your answer. I knit all kinds of stuff, and you wouldn't say that's what my life is all about, but when you look at your time and what you do and what you think about and what you're always involved in, well, that's what your life is all about. And the thing we're focused on, it changes from time to time, right? Like if I think back 10 years ago, I'm not focused. My life isn't focused right now on what it was then necessarily. There's other things that kind of come into the center, and this is what I'm all about now. But whatever it is, we have something, don't we? So for you, what's your thing? What's the thing that's the focus of your life? It's what you're doing with your life right now. It's your thing. What do you want to achieve in life? And unfortunately, as important as that thing is to you right now, that's not the best question you could ask you, that we could ask ourselves. What do I want to achieve with my life? What do we want to do with our life? That's not the best question we could ask. Why? Because whatever it is, whatever the answer to that question is for you, well, I want to get to this place with work, and then I want to get here, and then I want to do this, and I want my education and this. Whatever the answer is, either we never achieve it, and so we're always going after something that we're never going to get and it never makes us happy, or we do and you become, it's like, yeah, I do this and this is who I am and I'm happy with this and this makes me, but it's never enough, is it? We're never completely happy. That's why we always want more, and we want to, it's never enough. We want to get more and do more and achieve more, and there's always the next thing. There's always more that I have to do to be fulfilled, and we know down the back of our minds, if we lived long enough, that even when I get that next thing, I'm not going to be completely fulfilled. It's just going to be another thing, and then there's going to be something else, and there's going to be something else after it, and at the end, I always end up kind of empty and not completely satisfied. And see, it's a better question. It's a better question that we can ask ourselves, a better question that we can ask than, what do I want to do with my life? What do I want my life to be about? What do I want to accomplish with my life? And that question is this: it's, what does God want me to accomplish with my life? What does God want my life to be about? And this isn't, if you're like, well, didn't we answer that last week? No, last week we talked about asking God, what do you want me to do right now? What's the thing you want me to do in this moment? Having a conversation with my wife, kind of a heated conversation. What do you want me to say next? That kind of thing. It's the momentary kind of question. But this is the big picture. God, what do you want me to do with my life? What should the big focus of what I'm all about be? And that's a question we don't tend to ask God. And if you do, if you've asked God that recently, if that's been something you've had a talk with God about, and you've said, God, what do you want the big thing in my life to be about? Then congratulations, because you're in a minority, because most of the time, we don't ask God that question. We don't say, what should I focus on? What should I give myself to? God, what should the big thing in my life be? We don't ask that question. Why don't we ask God that question? Because most of the time, I know what I want my life to be about. I know what I'm running after. I know the things that will make me happy, that I think will make me happy. And so I don't even think to ask God. It's not something I need an answer to. I need an answer to, hey, how am I going to get enough money to pay the thing at the end of the month or whatever? But I don't need help with figuring out what I like to do and what I want to be and who and what I want to accomplish. I need his help to get me there, but I don't need him to tell me what to do because I already know what I want to do and what I want to be and what the thing is going to be. I know that. And also, I know that if I ask him that, like when now we're thinking about it and you're saying, no, maybe I could ask God, what do you want my life to be about? What do you want me to do? But, oh, he's going to tell me something that's not the thing that I want. He's going to tell me, I know, and he will. He's going to tell me something that's probably not the thing that I would by default fall into. This is what I want my life to be primarily about. He's going to say, I want your life to be about this if I really come to him and ask him. So I'm going to figure out what I want to do with my life and what my life should be about and what I'm going to be into. And then I'm going to come to him and say, I'm going to put you in these places in that, God. I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you, you know, some money, and I'm going to come on Sundays, and I'm going to do, and you're going to have some places in my life, but I get to figure out what my life is going to be about and what my life will be focused on. I get it because if I come to you and I just ask you what you want me to do, you're going to have something for me, and it's not going to be what I want. It's like, you know, when you were younger and you'd go to your You'd be out the door. You would think to yourself, should I ask my mom if there's anything else to do? And then you would answer, no, because I know there will be. And I've already done the thing that she said to do, so I'm just going to leave, because if I ask, I'm going to get directed in a direction I don't want to go in. So why should we ask that question? Why should we come to God and say, what do you want me to do? Because he's our creator. He made us. And the things that you're putting in the center of your life, that your life is all about, that are important to you, those things, listen, he gave you those gifts. He made you in that way. He made you the person that you are, and he made you for a purpose. He made us for a purpose, and his vision is eternal. My vision is what will make me happy right now, what will make my life secure in the next 10 years, what will get me to where I want to be immediately. His vision is for all time and for all eternity. So what's the answer to the question, what does God want me to do with my life? What's the answer that we receive back from God when we ask him that question? Look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Now here's the big idea that we're going to see as we read some verses together. God wants our focus, our primary focus, the thing that we're most zeroed in on, the thing that's at the center of our lives, the center of our time, the thing that takes up most of who we are. He wants that to be his kingdom. That's what he desires. That's what he wants. More than our stuff, than our job and our education and our having fun and our plans and our stuff. He wants the main focus. He wants the main thing in our lives to be his kingdom. Look at Luke chapter 9. I'm telling you that idea, but now we're going to look at the Bible, and I want you to tell me look at these verses and tell me if I'm wrong when I say that God wants his children, Jesus wants his followers to have as their main focus his kingdom. Look at Luke 9, chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, so if anyone would be my follower, let him deny himself. So that's not living life for what he or she wants. It's not saying, I want this and I want to go in this direction. I want to be this. It's denying that. Take up his cross daily and follow me. So live in such a way that you're dying to yourself every day and you're following after me. A following meant imitating. So live like me. It means a big part of that is, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to come after me in the path that I'm walking, if you're going to be my disciple, it means you're going to imitate me, which means that my focus and my desire and what my life is all about is what your life is all about. Now, if you're following me, for whoever would save his life would lose it. You say, if I do that, if I make my life primarily about the kingdom, if I put that at the center, if I make that my main thing, then what about my thing? And Jesus says, if you hold on to that, if you hold on to your thing, you're going to lose it. It doesn't last. It doesn't matter. Even when you get it, it just slips through your fingers. It's not real. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. So if you let go of your thing and your stuff, and I'm going to be this, and I want to be that, and this is who I have to be, and I'm going to focus primarily on the kingdom, I will have a life that is worth living. I'll have a life that is eternal. I'll have a life that is satisfying. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world? So even if you get everything and you focus on your thing and you get there and you're happy and you have it all, what does it profit you if you gain the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of his Father and of the holy angels. What's he saying? Part of being a Christ follower, big part, central part, what being a Christ follower means is that we give up our lives, we give up our dreams and our ambitions, and this is who I have to be, and this is what I'm becoming, this is what my life is focused on. We lose that for him, for his. We lose ours for his. We leave our world to gain his world. We publicly give testimony. Whoever talks, we talk about him. We're not ashamed to talk about him with other people. That's what it means. We give ourselves up. We put his kingdom at the center of our life and our focus. Isn't that the job the task, the thing that he gave us to do when he left, when he went back to heaven. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus is right at the point of going back into heaven. And look at what he says to his followers. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And I emphasize the word be because he's talking about identity. It's like, you're not just going to be my witness. You're not going to talk about me sometimes. It's like, that's what you're going to be. That's going to be the central thing that you are. Who are you? What is your life about? Well, I'm a witness. I talk about Jesus to other people. I study the Bible with other people. I talk about him. I speak the gospel to other people. That's what I do. I guide other people to follow him. That has become my identity. That's what it's supposed to be. He says, you will be my witnesses. And now flip backwards to the book of Matthew, the very end, Matthew chapter 28. Matthew's account of that moment when Jesus is about to ascend into heaven. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples, or that's followers of Jesus, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The thing you're supposed to do, not a thing that sometimes you do or the thing that the preacher's supposed to do. If you're my follower, the thing that you're supposed to do, the thing that you're supposed to be about, the main focus of your life is my kingdom. And that means bringing other people into my kingdom. That means speaking about me to other people. That means studying the Bible one-on-one with people who are non-Christians. That means cultivating friendships with people who are far from me and then telling them about me and guiding them to the point where they say, I want to become a Christian like you. I want to follow Jesus like you. And then getting in the water with them, baptizing them, and as they make their decision to follow Jesus, and then continue to study with them and walk with them and share life with them as they grow in becoming someone who obeys Jesus more and more. And that's a rest of the life process. That's what we're supposed to be about. That's what Jesus says, if you're my follower, this is what you do. This should be the focus of your life. This should be what you are all about. This is the thing that's supposed to flip a little bit farther backwards in Matthew, Matthew chapter 6. This is the thing that's supposed to win the conflict when my life and my security and the stuff I want to do and the thing I want to be most about raises up in my life, and I want to be this and I want to do this. And then what does Jesus say? Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 33, but seek first. There's other things we do, right? We have to work. We have to do family. We have all these things that we do that are part of our lives. But the thing that we seek first, the primary focus of our lives, is supposed to be the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Yeah, what we're supposed to be focused on for Christ followers is his kingdom, helping other people follow him, helping other people know him, bringing people into his kingdom, guiding people to know him, using our talents and our gifts to raise up his body, to build up his family, his house, his body with people. That's not just supposed to be our focus. That was the focus of Jesus as he lived his life on earth. Look back in Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, verse 10. Look at what Jesus said. This is just, I love this verse because read it in context. Read all these in context later because, yes, we are just grabbing verses today. Go back and read them in context. But I love this verse because Jesus says in just very concisely why he existed, what his purpose was as he lived on the earth. For the Son of Man, Luke 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man, talking about himself, came to seek and save the lost. That was his purpose. That's why he came. That was his focus. That's what he was all about. That's what his mission was. He did other stuff. There was other stuff that was part of his life. But the thing that he was mostly involved in and the thing that he was mainly focused on was that. It was making followers of himself. It was bringing people into a relationship with his follower, with his father. And then you see that. You could trace the story of his first followers. You could look at Peter or James or any of them. Look at Paul. Look at Philippians chapter 2, another just a one-verse thing that just says it, says what his whole life was about. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 17. So Paul is talking to a group of Christians that he's been pouring himself out into over time. And look at what he says. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. What is he saying? He's saying, I'm giving my life so that you will know and follow Jesus. That's what he's saying. That's what the focus and purpose of my life is. And if you know anything about the Apostle Paul, if you've followed his story throughout the New Testament, you know that's what he did. That is what he was about. That's what his life was focused on, just like Jesus, just like our life is supposed to be if we follow Jesus. That should be the primary focus of our lives if we're Christ followers. That's what our lives are supposed to be all about. And do we do other stuff? Do we have a little ancillary stuff going on? Of course we do. We're humans. We live in the world. We do stuff. We work. But our main thing, the main focus of our lives is supposed to be the kingdom of Jesus. So what should we do? Well, if you're a Christ follower, if you're a Christian, this is a moment where we're supposed to come back together and we're supposed to decide that the focus of my life is going to be, maybe it has been, maybe it's not, it is going to be the kingdom of Jesus. It's going to be focusing on bringing other people into the kingdom, speaking the gospel to people, studying the Bible with people who are far from God, building up the church, using my talent. I'm going to be focused on the kingdom of Jesus. That's what I'm going to be about. If I'm going to be a Christ follower, if I'm going to call myself a Christian, I'm not going to be someone who's just a good person who shows up, you know, 3 out of 4 Sundays every month. I'm going to be someone who's focused on the kingdom of Jesus and bringing people into that kingdom. That's what I'm going to be about because that's what he was about. And for some of us, we need to make that decision, not afresh, for the first time. Because for some of us, you look at your life and you know, that's not my focus. I sometimes, you know, would like to think it is, but I know it's not. I know what the focus of my life is. It's not that. I am a good Christian. I come on Sundays. I behave during the week. But my life is focused on other things. My life is not focused on the kingdom. And maybe for some of us, you say, that's not me. I am focused on the kingdom. But I would say, okay, just take a moment and do an inventory of your life right now and just analyze. And look at, and you say, well, how would I do that? Well, look at what you think about and what your you know, that inner thing where, am I the only one who has that you're always thinking about the thing you're going to do and what you want to do and the thing? What is that always focused on for you? Where do you spend most of your time? And if you have a job, then it's the job. But I don't mean that. I mean, like, the time where you get to decide what you get to do. Where do you spend most of your time? Where do you spend your time? Where do you spend your money? What are your friendships focused on? What are you building and accumulating in your life? What is that for you? What is the that tells you what the focus of your life is? That whatever that is for you, and when you and I look at that, I think most of us would say to one degree or another, yeah, it's kind of the kingdom. But not. There's a lot of me mixed in with that. My primary focus is not the kingdom. And so we're called today to decide this. If we're Christians, if you're not a Christian, you don't have to decide this, but if you're a Christian, if you said, I'm going to follow Jesus, if anyone would come after me, but deny himself, take up his cross, and follow, those are the kingdom in the center of our lives. We're called today to decide that I will focus my life in the kingdom, that I'll proclaim the gospel, that I'll guide other people to him, that I will build up his church. We're called today to decide to focus our lives in this. And let me give you a couple application questions, like specific application questions that help us focus our lives more on that. Who are the people in your life? Who are the people that you're investing in that are far from God and you're investing in friendships with them? Who is a person you're studying with or that you're trying to study with or that you're praying about that you want to see come into the kingdom? Or who's the person you're discipling who's already a Christian and you're walking with them and investing in them and helping them grow in their faith? Who could that person be? What's your ministry? What's the gifting that God has given you? How are you emptying yourself as you serve the kingdom, as you serve the body here, as you serve your family? How can you focus more on that and give yourself more to that? And listen, the more that we do that, the more that we focus our lives on the kingdom, here's what happens. We spend our lives on things that will last, on things that will truly matter. And we're able to enjoy other stuff in life. But the big thing in our lives, helping other people know God, there's no joy like standing in that water with someone and baptizing them and watching them come into new life. There's no joy like watching God change a person as you walk alongside them and the change that God does in you as you do this. There is nothing like focusing our lives on the kingdom of God. And that's what Jesus calls us to do today. And if you're not a Christian, you're not called to focus your life on the kingdom, but listen, the focus of all of this is you, your creator. What this is all about is that your creator is focused on finding you and rescuing you to the point where he asks his other children, the people who are sitting around you, to focus their lives on that as well. He wants to rescue you. He wants to adopt you. He wants to bring you into his family and forgive you. And so this morning for you, this is an invitation for you to let him do that. Let him do what he most wants to do. Give your life to him. Surrender to Jesus. Decide to follow him by repenting and being baptized. Tell someone here, I'm ready to make that decision. And let him come. Let him become your Savior and Lord and his Spirit fill you. Respond to God. And as we sing, if you're not a Christian, just think about this question in your mind. What's holding me back? What's keeping me from surrendering to the one who wants to bring me to himself? To his family. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together and then we'll sing. Dear God, we come to you. We thank you because you are good and kind and loving, and you come after us and you rescue us. And you come after us even when we forget that now that we're in your family, you want us to do the same thing. You want us to be laser focused on in our lives on helping other people come to you, and we're supposed to go after them and with you rescue them and bring them into your family, and that's what we're supposed to be about. But God, we confess together that our lives are about so many other things and not that as much. And so God, I pray that today that your Spirit would move in each one of us who are your children today, and that you would awaken in us the desire that our lives would be focused on your kingdom, focused on bringing people into knowing you, and that you would bring people into our lives, people that we could study with, and that people that we can guide, that God, that you would show us how we can use the gifts you've given us to raise up your body here, that we would be focused on your kingdom in a way that we forget to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.